following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk. What is on your mind about firearms today? A lovely day in Fairbanks, and the sun was bright when I got here. The temperature is 43 degrees, and Melissa, as always, is running the board for us today. Thank you, Melissa. I don't know what I would do without Melissa, and she's keeping the archives up to date for us, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day or so, and I very much appreciate that. So what is on our agenda today? Let's finally finish the discussion on the Biden administration's ban on imports for Russian ammunition and firearms. For history, we'll talk about the connection between Lieutenant Colonel Jacob Schick of the razor blade frame and the influence of firearms. And I also have a short reminder about how not to get carjacked and to be aware of our surroundings and parking lots if we have time. So what do Schick injector razors have to do with rifles? I hope our Alaska firearms gents haven't gone electric on us. United States Army Lieutenant Colonel Jacob Schick would be so disappointed. After all, he provided you with the lock and load razor and just what you need to shave with at 40 degrees below zero. So let's commemorate Jacob Schick, who was born this day, September 16th, 1877. Now, the website shaving.com has an article titled The Schick Story. And the Schick Company owes its being to United States Army Lieutenant Colonel Jacob Schick. Schick enlisted in the 14th Infantry Regiment in 1898, and he was assigned to the Philippines in the 1st Division, 8th Army Corps. He returned to the Philippines again from 1903 to 1905 as a second lieutenant with the 8th Infantry Regiment. And here is something interesting. Schick was next promoted to first lieutenant and was transferred to the 22nd Infantry Regiment in Alaska a year later. He helped lay telegraph lines for the military. And he left the military in 1910, but returned to duty from 1916 to 1918 as a captain due to the outbreak of World War I. He was later promoted to lieutenant colonel. Now, I read that while he was between the two periods of service, Colonel Schick staked mining claims in both Alaska and British Columbia. And the story goes that one winter, with temperatures settling about 40 below zero, Schick noticed he had a hard time trying to shave. Now, I know all of you wouldn't even have tried to shave out at a mining camp in those days at 40 below zero. But more of the story is that while at mining camp, Colonel Schick sprained his ankle, and he was forced to stay in camp by himself for several months. And I guess having a hard time shaving at 40 below zero was still stuck in his mind, because it was during this time of solitude with a sprained ankle and all alone that Colonel Schick, quote, first conceived the idea for a dry shaver and sketched out a design that would shave without water or lather, unquote, because you wouldn't want those things at 40 below. Now, there must not have been many people back there who experienced the frustration of dealing with water and shaving at 40 below zero, and that's because back then, when he attempted to generate interest in his dry shaver idea, no one was interested. So Schick went on to invent other things, but in 1921, Schick developed a brand new type of safety razor, and he called it the magazine repeating razor. Quote, inspired by the Army repeating rifle, it had replacement blades stored in the handle ready to be fed into shaving position without the chore and danger of handling a sharp blade, unquote. Now, the blades were sold in clips that could be loaded into the razor without touching the blade. Well, this magazine repeating razor went into production in Jersey City in 1926 when Schick founded the Magazine Repeating Razor Company. And these were the forerunners of the ever so famous Schick injector razor. Now, a year later in 1927, quote, Schick succeeded with his dry shaver and a year later became so convinced that the wet shaver method would be doomed by the electric razor that he started a separate corporation to manufacture and sell Schick electric razors, unquote. And here is more to think about, another connection between firearms and razors. And this information comes from Edgewell.com. Quote, a piece of our history dates all the way back to 1772 when Henry Nock, that's N-O-C-K, opened the gun shop that eventually would become Wilkinson Sword. In the United States, Colonel Jacob Schick started the iconic shaving brand Schick in 1921. In 1993, these brands joined forces to create the Schick Wilkinson Sword, unquote. And here is the fun part and what will make you the smartest person in the room. It's the firearms connection that both Lieutenant Colonel Schick had and that Henry Nock had. And here's a quote from the article, How a Smith & Wesson Rifle Inspired a Razor Design. Now, being a military man, Jacob Schick was disciplined and pragmatic in his approach to shaving. What if a razor could work like a rifle? What if the consumer never had to touch the blade because they could lock and load their razors just like Schick's favorite 45 caliber gun? Unquote. And as for Henry Nock, who came about 100 years before Schick, Nock was an inventor and an engineer during the Napoleonic period, and he was considered a gunsmith during his time. He produced the screwless lock and the seven-barreled volley gun, which later became known as the Nock gun. Now, the Nock gun was a seven-barreled flintlock smoothbore firearm used by the British Royal Navy during the early years of the Napoleonic Wars. It was actually invented by someone else, a British engineer named James Wilson, in 1779, but it was named after Henry Nock because he was the manufacturer. And the British Board of Ordnance rejected it for army use. However, they adopted it for naval use. It was fired from the tops of Royal Navy warships. With seven barrels and simultaneous discharge, you can imagine the devastating effect it had on tightly packed groups of enemy soldiers, or I guess you call them sailors. And I read that with all seven barrels fired almost at once, such significant recoil was produced that the shoulders of the users could be dislocated. Quote, the Nock gun was brought to modern attention in the 1960 film The Alamo, in which one is used by actor Richard Widmark playing Jim Bowie. The gun used in the film is now in the National Firearms Museum. Nock guns can be seen in realistic period films, including Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, and fantasy films, Jonah Hex, and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, unquote. I haven't seen that one. Now, joining together the ends of my circular story here, and hope you're still following it, Lieutenant Colonel Schick and Henry Nock live on together. And here's a description from Edgewell.com website on their history. Quote, a piece of our history dates all the way back to 1772 when Henry Nock opened the gun shop that eventually would become Wilkinson Sword. In the United States, Colonel Jacob Schick started the iconic shaving brand Schick in 1921. In 1993, these brands joined force to create the Schick Wilkinson Sword. In 2003, Schick Wilkinson Sword was acquired by Energizer Holding of Energizer Bunny fame. So now you know the connection between firearms and razors. The company that was known for manufacturing firearms, swords, and bayonets was merged with the company that manufactured the magazine repeating razor to bring you a modern product. Okay, we have a few minutes before break. I will.
About a minute.
A minute. Okay. I'll just get started here and then we'll break. So I wanted to talk more in depth about the ban on Russian ammunition and firearms imports into the United States, and also talk a little bit about steel case ammo in general, because that's what we were getting from Russia. And y'all know that this ban went into effect September 7, but existing sales of inventory already in the United States can continue, and we will go to break now and talk around the corner.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings. Back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellas come, because the western folks all know.
When you've driven enough winters in Alaska, you learn about keeping up with your vehicle's maintenance. Let Rogers Auto Repair help. From tune-ups to winterizing, Rogers is your complete auto shop. Even engine and transmission rebuilds are done right there. They're still helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665. Be their next satisfied customer. Rogers Auto Repair.
While you're out enjoying the beautiful colors of the changing seasons, you know it's coming. A few crisp mornings, then boom! Oh yeah, winter never asks permission to sneak in a hard frost. Have you winterized your RV yet? Schedule it now with Arctic RV for their complete winterization package. Your RV is protected all season long for peace of mind and no unnecessary spring repairs. Prices start at only $125 at 30th and Pegger. Rough it in style, Arctic RV.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design here. The termination dust is in the hills and soon will again become the great frozen north. Is your rig ready for 40 below? Auto Trim Design can help you survive with heated seats to warm your buns, running boards to save your shins, auto starts for automatic and manual transmission vehicles. So see us today at Auto Trim Design, Fairbanks Auto Start Specialist for over three decades.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 55. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 34. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 54. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 38 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Call in and let us know what's on your mind about firearms, 458-8255, 458-TALK. And I'm getting back to talking about the Biden administration ban on Russian ammunition. And I started this conversation a few weeks ago. I didn't get very far into it. And rather than starting about where I left off, let me retrace the beginning of my discussion. So some of you might be hearing some of this again, just in case some listeners today did not hear how we arrived in this mess. So I mentioned that Biden's State Department has issued new sanctions to the CBW Act of 1991, and these sanctions are going to impact all of us that are firearms users. The CBW Act of 1991 stands for U.S. Chemical and Biological Weapons Control and Warfare Elimination Act of 1991. The CBW letters stand for Chemical, Biological, and Warfare in that title. And from a GOP foreign affairs.house.gov press release, Quote, the CBW Act of 1991 was enacted to hold the Putin regime accountable for its continued use of chemical weapons and its flagrant disregard for international norms and fundamental rights, unquote. So if you go to the GOP Foreign Affairs .house.gov website, you can read the entire letter. It was sent from House Foreign Affairs Committee lead Republican Michael McCaul, who's a Republican from Texas, and Senate Foreign Relations Committee ranking member James Risch, who's a Republican from Idaho. And they sent that letter to President Joe Biden, urging him to immediately impose the legally mandated second round of sanctions. In that June 16, 2021 letter, a quote from the Republicans McCaul and Risch reads, on March 2, 2021, the Secretary of State determined pursuant to the CBW Act that the Russian government used a chemical weapon against one of its own nationals, the leading Russian opposition member and anti-corruption activist Alexei Navalny. As a result, the administration expanded existing sanctions first imposed on Russia after its 2018 chemical weapon attack against Sergei Skripal in the United Kingdom, unquote. And Sergei Skripal was a former Russian military officer and double agent for British intelligence. His daughter was also poisoned and a nerve agent was used. So that's the background. And let's move forward to today's issue of our government banning Russian-made ammunition and firearms from being imported into the United States. Now, I do not know how individual sanctions are arrived at. Even though the letter I referred to was written by two Republicans, members of Biden's administration made the final decision as to individual sanctions. So what we need to talk about are the ramifications that certain sanction items will have on us, the firearms users and ammunition users. So overall, what we're concerned about is, quote, restrictions on the permanent imports of certain Russian firearms. New and pending permit applications for the permanent importation of firearms and ammunition manufactured or located in Russia will be subject to a policy of denial, unquote. And as I mentioned, the sanctions went into effect September 7th. They will remain in place for a minimum of 12 months, after which Biden can remove the sanctions if Russia meets obligations under the CBW Act. Now, drilling down to what we will no longer see in the store is ammunition brands like Wolf Ammunition, Tool Ammo, Barnall, and Red Army Standard that Century Arms imports. We won't have access to this additional ammo, while domestic manufactured supplies are still constrained. And with that shortage of domestically manufactured ammo, the price for what little we can buy is going to continue to increase. It's just the old supply and demand. I first want to provide some information from an article posted at gunsandammo.com on August 21st, and it's titled, Russian Ammo Imports Halted May Send Demand, Prices, and Shortages to New Levels. And then I want to bring you information from a gunsmagazine.com podcast where Charlie Brown, president of MKS Supply in Ohio, is interviewed. MKS is a major importer of foreign ammunition into the United States. So let's start with the guns and ammo information. And here's a quote. In the midst of what is surely the most critical ammunition shortage since World War II, the U.S. government is putting an enormous bottleneck on the already struggling supply chain, unquote. Further, in terms of whether this is a fair ban or not, the article states, quote, the act mandates that the U.S. government will terminate arms sales with a country found to have violated the act, including the termination licenses for the export to that country of any item on the United States munitions list. Now, listeners, take note here. The operative word is export. It does not, however, mandate that the government ban imports of munitions from such a nation. So make no mistake, this is an attack on the American gun owners and has nothing to do with punishing the Putin administration for its actions against Navalny. If that were the case, the U.S. would be imposing sanctions to stop the completion of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline connecting Russia's natural gas supply to the European market, end quote. So the editorial notes that the ban is more that the Biden administration is looking for a way to curtail ammunition sales in the United States rather than a meaningful sanction on Russia. So how much Russian ammo is imported into the United States? The Guns and Ammo staff reached out to the largest importers of Russian ammo, and that is the person named Charles Brown of MKS Supply that I mentioned, to find out. Quote, "We are still trying to get a grasp on exactly how this will affect MKS and our marketing and sales efforts regarding Barnaul ammo from Russia," Charles Brown said. "At this point, it looks like they will be denying any new Form 6s, those are the import licenses, for ammunition. We have several million rounds of ammo on approval right now, but that will go very fast. We also had several new caliber cartridge selections being developed to import in the future, so it looks like those are dead on arrival right now," unquote. Now, according to Brown, roughly 40% of the ammunition sold in the United States originates from Russian sources. Quote, "Gun owners have become reliant on the ability of companies such as Wolf, Tula, and Barnaul to provide reasonably priced ammunition to the marketplace. Our reliance on Russian-made ammunition only increased over the past 18 months, with any brand or type of ammunition becoming virtually unobtainable. During this time of unprecedented demand, the administration has just cut off nearly half the available supply. U.S. manufacturers will not be able to fill this void in the foreseeable future, which means that all ammunition supplies will be stretched to the limit." And I'm continuing this quote. "We aren't just talking about 7.62 by 39 millimeter 223 Remington or 9 by 19 ammunition either. The shortages of those calibers have led to a squeezing of the balloon, and individuals are buying whatever firearms they can obtain ammo for. Panic buying will continue to wipe out supplies of nearly all hunting and sporting ammunition. Sorry, Mr. Deer Hunter and Sporting Clay Shooter, this will affect you too. So much for going after weapons of war. Unable to pass gun control legislation through Congress, the Biden administration is taking an end-around approach. Executive actions relating to brace-equipped pistols and so-called 80% receivers will negatively affect millions of gun owners. This latest action, though, will affect us all. By taking nearly half of the U.S. ammunition supply out of the equation, our government is tipping the ammunition market on its head. We can expect short supplies, high prices, limited selection for years to come," unquote. So let me move to the GunsMagazine.com podcast, Banned Russian Ammo. The person interviewing Charlie Brown again is president of MKS Supply in Ohio, is a gentleman named Brent Wheat. Now, in the previous article, I mentioned the number given for foreign, mostly Russian, ammunition selling in the United States market was 40%. In this podcast, Mr. Brown says the amount of foreign ammunition in the U.S. market is 35%. But from listening to the podcast, which I'll get into in a minute, I think he's talking about imported steel-cased ammunition. Now, Mr. Brown from MKS says, quote, "This whole thing has just popped up by the stroke of a pen. As the order was written, it looked like when you import ammo, you have to get approval from our State Department, and that has to go to the shipping country. Their government has to approve it. It's quite a long process, usually, several weeks up to a couple months. The order was written as such to say that they wouldn't be approving any more Form 6s, which is the form you have to apply with for to the State Department. And that being said, being that as an importer, we have quite a few approved Form 6s out there in the future. So at this point, as I said, it is a moving target. We don't know at this point in time whether the customs will allow approved Form 6s to be shipped in, or if they are just going to turn them away. That's the big question mark out there. There are a couple of large importers in the U.S. that do most of their ammo importing from Russia, us being one of them. And that's a big concern because it could greatly affect our business model as we go forward if they draw the line in the sand and say no more comes in. So not only does this new regulation hurt us as ammunition buyers, but it hurts the private businesses whose model it is to import foreign ammunition. The moderator, Brent Wheat, states that though this Biden administration action is supposed to punish the Russians for poisoning the dissident, it's really to throw a bone to the anti-2A folks in his administration. Charlie Brown from MKS answers, quote, "That is totally my understanding. In fact, Biden himself said during his campaign that he will do everything he can to hurt the shooting sports. We all remember that, and this is one way that he's doing it. Someone getting poisoned is terrible, but sanctions to a certain industry over that, that would be like someone got poisoned and we're going to ban sewing needles. Firearms and poisoning have nothing to do with each other, or ammo and poisoning. They are practically unrelated," unquote. And we're going to go to our half-hour break. Stick around, and I'll finish up when we get back.
Largest facility at more than 5,000 square feet.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Joe Petito, the father of 22-year-old Gabby Petito, who disappeared after traveling across the country with her boyfriend Brian Laundrie, is asking for help in finding his daughter.
Whatever you can do to make sure my daughter comes home, I'm asking for that help. There's nothing else that matters to me now.
Laundrie has been named a person of interest by authorities investigating the case after he returned from the trip by himself. He so far refused to talk to police. The Labor Department says 332,000 people filed for new unemployment claims last week.
It's an increase from the week before and more than expected. Economists believe delayed filings from Hurricane Ida impacted the number of new claims. Also, the increase in the number of COVID cases appeared to impact the job market in August.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
At the peak of the summer tourism season, Transportation Security Administration workers at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport were screening as many as 9,000 passengers a day, according to a report from Alaska's news source. Despite close interaction with the public, the TSA says the number of its Anchorage workers who have reported testing positive for COVID-19 since March of 2020 is only 38. If you go through the TSA checkpoint, you'll notice that they're all masked, they're all shielded, so they've got their plastic shielding in there, said airport manager Jim Szczesniak. The TSA employees, just with the volume of passengers they're dealing with, I can tell that those productions are working. TSA employees are required to report a positive COVID-19 test, according to a TSA spokeswoman. Right now, they aren't required to be vaccinated, but that will change in mid-November when President Joe Biden's mandate that all federal employees be vaccinated against COVID-19 goes into effect. Employees are routinely reminded that if they are feeling ill, they should not come to work to reduce the risk of spreading the virus, spokesperson Lori Dankers wrote in an email.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When you've driven enough winters in Alaska, you learn about keeping up with your vehicle's maintenance. Let Rogers Auto Repair help. From tune-ups to winterizing, Rogers is your complete auto shop. Even engine and transmission rebuilds are done right there. They're still helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. Family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665. Be their next satisfied customer. Rogers Auto Repair. Setting up camp is some of the hardest work in hunting. Doing it right makes all the difference. Start with Frontier Outfitters for great selections of tents, wall tents, and tent wood stoves. See every kind of cookware and stoves by MSR, Jetboil, and Coleman. Sleeping bags by Slumberjack and Mountain Hardware. Thermarest mattresses. To help transport it, Frontier has ATV accessories and trailers. Everything for your successful hunt. Gear, clothing, the finest knives, and more are at Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan life.
Hi, Steve at Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your auto start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. Has anyone gotten their moose this season yet? I've got friends out moose hunting, and no one has called to say they've gotten a moose. It's kind of warm out, so call in with your moose stories, too. And we're talking about the Biden administration ban on Russian ammunition. So in humor, the moderator points out that the Biden administration did not ban Russian caviar. He just banned the ammunition, which goes back to what I said before, throwing a bone to the anti-2A folks in his administration. And this is Charlie Brown from MKS again, quote, "What this will do is reduce available ammo in the marketplace for consumers for all ammo. Russian steel case ammo makes up about 35% of all ammo used in the United States because of its affordable prices compared to brass cases. Now, there's going to be a shortage of not only 7.62 by 39, but 5.56, 300 Blackout, 308, most of your common pistol calibers. It's going to put a further demand on our already tight market and force prices up even more than they have already moved, unfortunately. I think it is going to be the end result of this," unquote. Now, Brent Wheat, the moderator, notes that this is MKS's livelihood and that no one from the government reached out ahead of time to let the company know about the ban before it was signed into effect. Charlie Brown from MKS answers that any new Form 6s could be denied. In his opinion, the word could means the government is going to deny the Form 6s. And that isn't going to change anything Russia does, but it will hurt legitimate American businesses. Now, Brown says that sportsmen will be affected as they won't have sporting ammo to go to the range with. And he feels hunters will be affected too. They won't be able to get ammo. And the order was written so that it can be reviewed every 12 months. But Brown feels that, quote, "Once the anti-2A people get this pushed through, it will be very difficult to reverse. Unless we have an administration change somewhere down the road, and that new administration specifically redacts that order, that is 3 years down the road," unquote. Now, Brown from NKS lets us know a little more about how the ban will affect his business. "What I learned is that there are other foreign importers of ammunition that companies may turn to. Quote, it is going to make a big impact on our business. Importing the Russian ammo was a pretty large piece of our business at this point. There are other companies out there in other parts of the world that do some steel case, but they just don't do it as efficiently and as cost effectively as the Russians do. So we may possibly strike up relations with other people. We've been contacted by people already. We've developed this brand, Barnall, in the U.S. market. Barnall is very popular in Europe. About 5 years ago, we met with them and then went to Moscow to the arms show and basically put this idea out on the table, and they liked it. They're very proud people. At the end of the day, the Russian people are just like the American people. They're trying to provide for their family and make a little money to go on vacations. It's going to hurt a lot of working people by enacting it. That's for sure, unquote. On whether or not Biden's order can be changed or rescinded, Brown says, quote, NSSF is on this and they are working to try to figure out what to do. There are some administrative procedures that have to happen. I know that there are some legal things that are happening in the background that might challenge it. But once it goes in, it's an order. It's hard to challenge that type of thing because they come up so quick. There's no voting process, no any kind of discovery. Whether or not it is right or wrong, it just happens, unquote. Now, the moderator, Brent Wheat, asked if Brown from MKS had any hint that Biden's order was coming down the road or if it just came out of left field. And Brown answered, quote, no real hint. About 3 weeks ago, there was an import-export conference in Washington, and there was an off-the-cuff comment made by somebody from the State Department that nobody paid much attention to. Somebody asked, does the president plan to do anything crazy? I wasn't at the conference, so paraphrasing, something was said like, well, anything is a possibility, but you might know in a couple weeks. Of course, nobody paid attention to that, and it happened, unquote. The moderator, again Brent Wheat, asks, next brings the conversation around to steel-cased ammunition. And what I found this part of the discussion to be very interesting, Wheat said he wanted to talk about the Russian ammo itself. He says it does have a certain reputation and asked, why would someone want to buy steel-cased ammo? Now, Brown from MKS answered, quote, the main thing is cost. It's much less expensive, often 40 to 50% less than brass case relatable. If you're just going to the range and shoot targets and have a fun range day, why spend the extra money on the premium ammo when this ammo is very high quality, very well built, proven? It's up to CIP standards, which is the European standards. CIP is the European SAMI, which is a standard product tested very well. It runs everything. There are a lot of rumors out there about steel case ammo. Oh, it blows your extractor off. It will wear your chamber out. All crazy stuff. I really think the brass case manufacturing companies put those out there in the beginning to scare people. Because the steel that we use for shells, the casings, is much, much softer than any chamber of any firearm. It will not wear your chamber. Most all of our ammo is now polymer coated. It has a very dense polymer coating on it, so it makes it very lubricous, like brass. It feeds into the chamber. It doesn't get stuck. We've killed all those old wives' tales about steel case ammo. Hundreds of millions of rounds every year get shot in the U.S. with very few problems. If you've been on an outdoor range recently, just look down. There are 6 inches of steel casing lying around. A lot of it's being shot for sure, unquote. That was a long quote. Now, moderator Wheat asks what changes he sees since MKS first started importing ammunition into the U.S., and Brown answered that selections of imported ammo have increased. Quote, it used to be if you wanted 5.56 or 223 55 grain full metal jacket, it was all you had. Now we have that 55 grain in a boat tail, we have a 62 grain boat tail, we have those selections in a hollow and soft point for hunting. In every category, whether it's 308, 762 by 39, 545 by 39, all of those selections have grown in bullet weight and bullet configuration to meet more of a specific demand, unquote. Now, Brown goes on to say they sell a lot of 30-06 soft point boat tail, 168 grain bullets that buyers use to hunt with. He notes that it is an American cartridge made by a Russian company, but it is in the bullet weight and configuration that people want to use to hunt. Another misconception that was discussed is that people think the Russian-made ammunition, imported ammunition, is military surplus ammo. And Brown explains, quote, Yes, in the very beginning, a lot of it was military surplus. If you grew up in the gun business in the 70s and 80s, there still is a lot of army or military surplus out there. Any of the Russian ammo that is coming in that is boxed in what we call standard retail pack, like 20 to 50 in a box with a nice label on it, all that ammo is less than 90 days old. Anything that's in a wood crate or a Spam or sardine can that you have to open, chances are that unless it's a new production with a new looking label, chances are a lot of that is the older 80s and 70s military surplus. Everything from Barnall right now is all 100% brand new, fresh manufacture with new modern components, unquote. Now, commenting on any problems that shooters might experience with the new production steel case ammo, Brown says, quote, "Some bolt action guns that are built to extreme tight tolerances, some of the steel case ammo might be a little tight in the chamber. I have seen that on occasion, but typically that is more high-end rifles, not your standard hunting variety." And we're going to go to our third break, and we'll finish this up around the corner.
Steve from Auto Trim Design here. The termination dust is in the hills and soon will again become the great frozen north. Is your rig ready for 40 below? Auto Trim Design can help you survive with heated seats to warm your buns, running boards to save your shins, auto starts for automatic and manual transmission vehicles. So see us today at Auto Trim Design, Fairbanks Auto Start Specialist for over three decades.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
While you're out enjoying the beautiful colors of the changing seasons, you know it's coming. A few crisp mornings, then boom! Oh yeah, winter never asks permission to sneak in a hard frost. Have you winterized your RV yet? Schedule it now with Arctic RV for their complete winterization package. Your RV is protected all season long for peace of mind and no unnecessary spring repairs. Prices start at only $125. At 30th and Pegger, rough it in style, Arctic RV. Weather brought to you by the Great Harvest Bread Company, your local bakery cafe in the Bentley Mall Annex on College Road. Fresh breads, treats, and great gift ideas.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 55. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 34. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 54. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 38 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Oh, this is Shooter's Corner. Melissa and I were just talking, and I'm distracted. I apologize. Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255. 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today, and give us your moose reports if you've got your moose yet. We are talking about the Biden administration ban on ammunition. Now, the moderator asks about the supply of Russian ammo and wondered if Russian ammo is in as tight supply as American-made ammo. And the answer that Brown from MKS gives to prior to the Russian ammunition ban, he says they're bringing in about the same amount every month as they always have, which is ballpark between 7 to 15 million rounds a month. And Brown points out that the problem is the demand in our marketplace. He explains that it takes about 90 days from the time the ammunition is manufactured until MKS gets it on their dock on the East Coast. And Brown said that the Barnall ammunition plant is located in Barnall, Russia, which is in Siberia. He said the Russians moved the Barnall plant from Moscow to Siberia so that long-range bombers could not get to their ammunition plants. And the ammunition is shipped from Siberia on a train that takes it to St. Petersburg. And from there, it's loaded onto a ship, and it takes time to arrive at our East Coast ports. So Brown said that though the Barnell plant is too far inland, there was a method to the Russians' madness in wanting to keep that plant attack-proof. Quote, clearly now, with the Biden administration order, we will not be getting any Russian ammunition. But before that order, the ammunition flowed quickly. Brown said the Russian ammo was not hard to get, but when they got it in stock, it was shipped out in about 2 days. He said when they get it in stock, in an order for 10 million rounds, it disappears within 3 days. And then they have to wait another 28 days because of this long shipping process for the next shipment. And the moderator asked if the Russians ramped up their ammunition manufacturers to meet current U.S. demand. Russia itself doesn't have that much of a civilian firearms market or ammunition market. So the question was, is Russia experiencing the same material supply shortages that our domestic manufacturers are? And Brown said they do have some problems with raw materials, and that is a worldwide problem. There are some challenges obtaining steel, primers, and powdered worldwide. The moderator rephrases the question about the steel ammo, wondering why it is when there is ammo on the shelf, one box is $10 or $15 less than the other. What is the resistance to buying the Russian Barnall? And Brown from MKS says, quote, it is steel case ammo in general, but is the old wives' tales, really. Early on, when 7.62x39 started being imported, that was the first caliber imported from Russia, and that's a lacquer-sealed bullet. The AKs ate that just fine. But then you started running that lacquer-sealed bullet through your AR that you converted to 7.62x39 or your bolt gun that you have in 7.62x39. That lacquer became a problem because it used to get hot and it would cook and stick in the chamber, so you had some problems. Since then, they changed the lacquer formation. There's more polymer in there, and the 7.62x39 specifically, it doesn't do that anymore, unquote. It was those early problems with the lacquer that persisted as rumors today, The Russians quickly learned to use polymer and less or no lacquer. Now, Brown notes that this was not a problem with the Russian military applications. However, consumer firearms have more tighter tolerance than military firearms. And he says that people not understanding that the problem is fixed is probably why they're reluctant to purchase steel case ammo over a more expensive round. And Brown goes on to talk about the depth of the Russian ammo product line. And here's what they import. 223, 306, 308, 545x39, 7.62x54R for the Mosin Nagant lovers. 300 Blackout, they just rolled that out. 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 45 Auto, and 9mm Makarov. And MKS had 4 to 5 new calibers they were developing with the Russians for the U.S. consumer market. And since they are not developed yet, MKS did not have Form 6s filed. He said those are dead now. There's no way MKS will be able to bring those in. He said some of them were very popular rifle calibers that would have really helped people out to shoot more and enjoy their range time more. And in summary, Brown from MKS said, quote, the administration is going to find ways to attack our rights and the supporters of the Second Amendment. He's pledged to do it. This is just a start. He, meaning Biden, is not hurting any Russian companies. He's hurting American sportsmen and American businessmen, unquote. And the moderator wrapped up the interview saying, quote, nibbled to death by ducks. There probably won't be any sweeping laws, but a little chipping away here and there. It isn't going to hurt the Russians in the slightest, unquote. And that's the end of that. I suggest you go to the Barnall. It's B-A-R-N-A-U-L, BarnallAmmo.com website, and see all the ammunition they make for the United States market that we can no longer get. I wanted to talk a little bit about carjackings. And I want to remind everyone to look around you when you exit or enter your vehicle. Be careful where you park and who and what you park next to. If you're at a gas station, keep your keys in your pocket. Don't leave them in your car or on your car seat. Always be aware of who is in close proximity to you and why they would need to be in close proximity to where you're standing. And a recent email from concealcarry.com noted that the trend in carjacking is up. Philadelphia set their record for the most carjackings in a single year, 300%, up 300% over last year's record. In Minneapolis, police report carjackings are up 537% this year. Carjacking calls to 911 in New Orleans are up 126%. The concealedcarry.com email said Oakland, California police say carjackings are up 38%. And one point made is that some of these carjackings are perpetrated by people wearing masks. Remember, don't necessarily feel secure if a person is masked and close to you. You can't see their entire expression. Now, I will try to find statistics on Alaska carjackings. My initial search in the Alaska Uniform Crime Report was inconclusive. They must lump that in with a larger category. Alaska Statute 1181-350 is justification use of force in defense of property and premises, defines carjacking to mean a robbery involving the taking or attempted taking of a vehicle from a person in possession of the vehicle. So I will have to ask an expert to get that number from you. In Chicago, several security agencies have teamed up to offer what they call Operation Safe Pump. And I thought this was interesting. It's a program with these agencies volunteer to have their people watch and protect patrons at gas stations. And when the volunteers are there, they have a sign up saying, Operation Safe Pump, secure location. And they also advertise this through social media to let people know what hours and which gas stations will have security during the day. And that way people know at what time and where to go to fill their vehicles with gas and remain safe while doing it. It's come down to that. One of the volunteers said their job is to sit and detain, but let the police do the arrest. And I'm bringing up this awareness issue for us going to gas stations or getting in and out of our cars in parking lots because I think we get complacent. The other day, I was headed into one of our gun stores, and I was trying to keep my purse strap on my shoulder while getting a cased rifle and an ammo can full of ammunition out of the back seat of my car. And I shut the door, awkwardly grabbed my key fob to press the lock button while trying to keep my purse from falling off my shoulder and not dropping the long rifle and the heavy ammo can. And I looked around thinking how I could have more safely done this. It just hit me that this was not safe and I knew it. And there were several people walking through the parking lot at the time, and with my hands full and having parked closely next to another car, that gave me little room to maneuver if someone was to come close to me. If someone wanted to accost me to steal my purse or the rifle or the ammunition can, clearly I would not have been in a position to prevent that. So next time I will make two trips so that both hands are not occupied. It will always be the time that we think nothing is going to happen today, that something will happen to us. So be careful in those parking lots. I want to give a heads up about next week's program. We'll talk about an article from American Handgunner about the Nazi mouse guns, carry pistols for history's most ghastly villains, and information from Rifle Shooter Magazine article titled Big Game Rifle Roundup 2021, and I'll have some added research on a few of those rifles that I found interesting. And then from Guns and Ammo magazine, just what we want to know during an ammunition shortage. We'll talk about their article, Hunting with Air. Modern air rifles are capable of hunting tools for everything from crows to Cape Buffalo. And in that article, they have a picture of an African Cape Buffalo with this large air rifle held between the horns. And so we'll talk about that next week. And let me leave you with a quote from George Bernard Shaw. 2% of the people think, 3% of the people think that they think, and 95% of the people would rather die than think. Now, we don't want to die. So think, what are the three safety rules? Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot. And always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. It's been a pleasure, and I'll talk to you all again next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.